Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Kia ora and welcome back to Kiwi Birth Tales. I am your host, Jordan. I'm a mum of two. I have Jai, who's four, Ali, who is two. I also have a business baby, Your Birth Project, and Your Birth Project is the online hypnobirthing course you need in your life to create your best birth. The Your Birth Project app has just recently launched, so if you're an iPhone user, make sure you go and check out Your Birth Project in the App Store. It is an amazing user experience now, and I just, am so in love with the app. If you don't have access to the app yet, you can still view all of the Your Birth Project content on your phone, on your computer, or on your iPad through www.yourbirthproject.com. So make sure you go and check out the course if you're pregnant or you know someone who is. I would love for you to recommend the course to them. I've got another birth story episode for you coming very soon, but today I just wanted to do a bit of a bonus episode, a bit of a catch-up. I feel like it's been a while since I've just done an individual episode, and I feel like I've got lots to talk about. Maybe I'm just feeling chatty today, but I have another beautiful birth story coming for you this week that I thought I would drop this one for you before Tuesday. I have a lot on my mind at the moment. I think after Ali was born, I definitely spent like at least 18 months thinking to myself, no way am I having more children, like never ever ever again. It was just like the thick of the postpartum period and juggling having two under two and Jai still being a baby, and just like I feel like regardless of your older child's age, that postpartum period is intense, and it's intense on your relationship, it's intense on you as a person, as a mum. And I just felt like two kids was for me. I'm never having any more. I don't want any more. Like, our family's done and complete. And I think Joe sort of felt like that on and off as well, but he was probably more still open to the fact that he potentially wanted more children. But I feel like now that Ali is, like, he's coming up 2.5, Jai's coming up 4.5, and although we co-sleep and we, like, Joe and I don't have the same room, Jai sleeps with Joe, Ali sleeps with me in separate rooms, I feel like we're getting more sleep, we're far more settled as a family, we're in a relatively consistent, like, routine. The kids are just, like, easier in different ways as they get older, and I'm really loving the age that they are at. Like, although the 2 under 2 was challenging, I just feel like having babies is challenging regardless, but now that they're at the ages that they're at and I can see like their bond and their friendship and their relationships forming, I just love it. I'm really loving this stage of motherhood. If anything, I just wish I could quit my job so I could spend more time with them. But like, we've just been on holiday in the Gold Coast and we had so much fun. They're just, they're really cool ages. Ali is just, he is amazing, and so is Jai, and I just really love spending that time with them. So I feel like now, or for the last couple of months, Joe and I have probably felt like, maybe we do want more kids or another baby, and like, what would that look like? And we've been probably more consciously trying to fall pregnant over the last few months, and I've been tracking my cycles like every month since I had Ali, because I was trying to avoid falling pregnant. The funny thing about that though is, like, we fell pregnant with Jai in the first month, literally had sex like one time because I was coming back from Italy to New Zealand. It was like a, goodbye serenade. And I knew like from that moment that we did that, that I was pregnant. Like, I was just so confident in it. Did the pregnancy test. My period was like, it was initially negative, then positive. Like, it was so easy to fall pregnant with Jai, and we were so blessed by that. And then we were not trying to fall pregnant with Ali, but we weren't on any form of contraception other than the pull-out method. So if you're using that, you might want to reconsider. And anyway, so we fell pregnant with Ali, like, again, really blessed, really easily, weren't planning or trying to have him at the time. Now, that we are consciously trying, like looking at my cycles, or we have been in the last few months, and it hasn't happened, I just feel like even more blessed, even more grateful that we had the journey that we did with Ali and Jai. I don't know if it's meant to be, it will happen for us again. I feel like I'm trying to consciously not focus on it. Like, we're not on a deadline or a timeline of when and how it happens. So we're less focused now on my cycle and my ovulation. Like, I became obsessed for a good 3 months with like tracking my ovulation. 1 month I don't think I ovulated. Like, I've got some weird things going on with my hormones and my cycles. I did ovulate the next 2 months. We had sex, didn't fall pregnant. Like, in my mind, I think because it had been so easy before, it should have been that easy again this time. So I think that has been challenging, and I'm very much now trying not to stress myself out by it. I'm not like consciously tracking my cycles and making sure we have sex on the days that I'm ovulating. We're just trying to enjoy our relationship. We're trying to enjoy our life right now. Like, if we fall pregnant in the next year, that would be a real blessing. And we would be so happy with that. If it doesn't happen, then we'll obviously consider seeking some other support for that. And I feel like this episode is just going to jump all over the fucking place, guys. So if that's not where you're at right now, maybe come back to it. But anyway, so we've been thinking about that, thinking about having another baby, trying to like consciously have another baby for a couple of months. And now I'm just trying to reduce my stress levels. I'm trying to focus on me, and my self-care and looking after myself. So I feel like if those things are improved and I'm not feeling as stressed, maybe my body will be responding in a different way. So we'll see what happens. But where that brings me to is thinking about like postpartum and the postpartum experience and how that is so different for every individual person. But I always get the same questions on whether it be the Your Birth Project Instagram or Kiwi Birth Tales Instagram, to talk more about postpartum, to talk more about the postpartum journey, your relationships, your baby, like what is it actually like? I think particularly for first time mums, that's a question I get a lot. And so I just reflected on my own journeys with Jai and with Ali and what I would potentially want to do differently if we were to have another baby. And I thought that that would be, you know, something interesting to talk about. I think the reality is that, like I said, everyone's going to have such a different postpartum experience. And some people absolutely adore and love the newborn stage, and that's amazing. And then other people find it really challenging and they don't adore or love it, and they love like the toddler stage when they get a bit older. So I feel like it just depends on what happens in your own experience, and everybody will have a really different journey. But some of the things that I found helpful in preparing for my postpartum journey both times was to have really open conversations with Joe about the kinds of parents that we wanted to be, about, you know, the different expectations that we had of one another, and to be really frank around the reality of what it's like to have a baby in your relationship and, I guess, fall into that sort of roommate period of your relationship. And for us, that lasted quite a long time after Ali, and that was probably the biggest challenge, like, longer term for us. But initially, when we had our babies, like, we had the conversations around expectations of sharing the load. What does that look like? Like, what are our expectations around wake-ups in the night, which happen all the time with newborns? How are you going to manage that? I love the idea of, like, shifts. I've heard quite a few times on the podcast now couples who have shifts. So I might, you know, feed Ali and then give him to Joe at like 8 o'clock in the night and go to bed. And then Joe is responsible for him from 8 o'clock until midnight so that I get a good stretch of sleep. Even if that means feeding him expressed milk or formula or whatever it is that you're choosing to feed your baby from a bottle for that period of time if he needs it, if he wakes up, like all of those different options. So I think expectations of sharing the load, how you're going to do that, what does that look like, what are all of the things your partner can support you with that is not feeding your baby if you're breastfeeding, then that's what they should be doing. So I think having those frank conversations up front, even if they are working, You are also working all day and night with your baby. That is not a holiday. So I think just having those conversations up front is really important. Talking about how you'll sort of cope through sleep deprivation. What are some things I need from you to look out for my mental health? Like, what are things that I'm finding triggering in my pregnancy that I might find triggering postpartum? How will we communicate about my mental health? Like, all of those things that you can think about and put in place. How do I get to take time still for me? Make sure that I've showered, I've washed my hair, I've done my skincare, I've gone for a walk. Like, all of those things that might feel really good for me. How can I make sure that I'm doing those daily so I feel like a human? How can you as my partner support me in that? How do we look after our other children if you've got other children in the mix? How can they spend, you know, time with them? How can your family or friends spend quality time with them to make sure they still feel really loved? That's one of the things that we did with Jai, was I made an effort to spend, even if it was only 10 minutes reading him a book at nighttime, I made an effort to spend that one-on-one time with him every single day. And then Joe and our family wrapped a lot of love and support around him as well. So it wasn't always just focus on the baby. It was very much like focus on him. Sometimes we'd talk about like, no, Ali, you have to wait right now. Although Ali's like, doesn't understand. You have to wait right now because Jai really needs mummy. Just to sort of help the facilitation of their introduction and meeting and relationship and how Jai was feeling at the time. And he was still such a baby. Like, it's crazy to reflect on that now. And then I think like there's lots of things to think about around boundaries and like boundaries around things that you do or don't want for your baby, things that you do or don't want from your families. You know, what happens if breastfeeding is challenging for me? Are we both on the same page about expressing or formula feeding or just making sure that you've thought those things through? I think it's just a helpful point to start in your relationship when you're pregnant to have those conversations rather than waiting until you're sleep deprived, you've got this, you know, cocktail of hormones running through your body postpartum, and then you're trying to have those conversations. It makes it a lot harder. So the more that you can learn to openly communicate, have challenging conversations, have conflict, and resolve the conflict in your pregnancy, the better off you'll be postpartum. So those would be some of my sort of key tips from a relationship perspective. And then I guess the other things that I found really helpful postpartum were Silverettes for my nipples and also the Pure Mama nipple butter. When I was trying or attempting to breastfeed, those were really helpful. I had low supply issues, so I was also using a breast pump. I had the Bulima Euphoria Plus, I believe it's called, and I got it from More Than Milk in New Zealand. And that was a fantastic pump. I found purchasing a hands-free pumping bra really helpful. So you can just put the pump on like inside the bra and you don't have to hold it, because it can be tedious if you are pumping to try and like sit there. It's just uncomfy and annoying. So that was helpful. I also had a white noise machine that I used pretty much from birth with Ali. A lot of his naps for the first good 4 weeks or so were on me anyway, but the white noise machine was good for overnights. I had a little light lamp thing. I think I got mine from Mum's Store. And if you're a Your Birth Project mum, you do get a Mum's Store discount, so make sure you go and check that out in your Birth Project course. But I had a little night light, I think it was Nod might have been the brand, and that was good because it was really nice and dim, and it also did the white noise at the same time. So I liked that. We had a co-sleeper bassinet, so his bed, his little co-sleeper bassinet was right next to our bed. Which was useful. We did swaddle and wrap him. I know different people do different things with that now, but yeah, we did swaddle him. We used some of the swaddles from a brand called The Rest, which is Australian, and I really loved those ones. I used them with Jai as well, actually. So those were helpful. We had bottles because we ended up formula feeding. So we had the Philips Avent bottles with the natural teat. And it was just a slow flow. I think it might have been a 0 or a 1 on the flow. We also had a sterilizer, which I think is useful if you are formula feeding or using bottles or dummies or literally anything that babies put in their mouths at that age. So those are probably my top tips, like things that helped me postpartum. Oh, Viva La Vulva was the other one. So yeah, heaps of Viva La Vulva products I used in my postpartum with Ali. The perennial spray, the witch hazel, the ice packs, like literally all of it. I just had it all with me all the time. And I had I actually didn't have a bunny caddy at the time, but if I had another baby, I'd use my bunny caddy, which I now have, just to keep everything all together, make it super easy to like transfer around the house. But you could make your own like little basket or something. It's just easy to have snacks, water, all of those things with you wherever you are in the house. And yeah, those are probably the things that I use the most.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Postpartum in my initial postpartum period with Ali, but I think if I was to have another baby now, I would just try to be really conscious of giving in to what it is and just trying my best to, like, through the sleep deprivation, really enjoy that newborn phase and not be so stressed about, like, breastfeeding. If it doesn't work, I'll formula feed or express whatever feels right for me, which I've had to do both times previously. If he's only going to nap on me, like, that's fine. I would really try and give in to the newborn phase, knowing that it truly does not last forever. And when you've got a 2.5-year-old and a 4.5-year-old, it feels like a really long time ago. And yeah, it can be so challenging in that moment and in that time. But I think trying to give in to that period of time is really helpful. I think postpartum bleeding, if you haven't had a baby before, you will bleed postpartum pretty significantly. If you are worried about the amount, then always talk to your midwife, or if you've got like clots or anything like that, always talk to your midwife. But I found the Depends adult nappies really useful for that period. I layered them with pads inside as well. They were the most comfortable option for me. I used the Tom's maternity pads, which were great. Yeah, so you will bleed regardless of whether you have a vaginal or C-section birth. Post-birth, I took pain medication for the first few days after my birth with Ali and longer after my C-section with Jai. I had an episiotomy with Ali and I found the sprays from Viva La Vulva and the ice pads, like, really, really just so helpful. But that was uncomfortable for a good couple of weeks, just taking it easy, not pushing yourself too hard. Like, that was really important for me. My midwife told me, don't go for a walk, like, and go too far and then realize you've still got to get home. Like, just take things really slowly because you've given birth. Like, it is a massive thing for your body to go through. Just take it at your own pace. Yeah, so those are my, like, postpartum thoughts 2.5 years out, if I was to do it again. And yeah, we'll just see what happens with us this year. But I hope you have enjoyed this random bonus episode. I just felt like coming on here and reconnecting with you all. It feels like a long time since I've just done, yeah, an individual episode. If you've got particular topics that you want me to talk about, make sure you send me a message on Instagram at KiwiBirthTales or at Your Birth Project. And I will be back with another beautiful birth story for you very, very soon. So keep an eye out for that. As always, I am so grateful for you choosing to have me in your ears and the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast playing wherever you are in the world. So I hope you have a lovely day or night, and I will be back with you very soon.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack
for free shipping and 365-day returns.